Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Dreamers, to Katie Keenecast, a podcast all about Katie Keene on the CW. Oh, I am coming down from the stars. I have been out all night just drinking and having the most wonderful time here in New York City. I'm Alex.
Wow, it sounds so real coming out of Alex's mouth. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete. And we are going to be talking about Katie Keene Chapter 4, Here Comes the Sun. Dealing with
the sun.
I love the about that you are singing on this podcast, by the way.
It's more than none, which is surprising.
Yes. More than yelling at us for singing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is nice. So this is the fourth episode of Katie Keene. We're picking up on the breakup of Katie Keene and K.O. Kelly. Very sad, the last episode.
Stop saying that.
Why?
They didn't really break up. They're just taking a break.
They had a full hardcore breakup.
Yeah, it was 100% a breakup. They talk about it this whole episode.
I know. I'm still in denial, all right?
They broke up again in this episode. Their relationship is officially KO'd.
Oh, oh man. You're sitting on that information.
I did wait for a nice pause, though, to say it.
Oh, man, that's ridiculous.
All right, let's do a little bit of recap going into this episode. As we mentioned, Katie Keene is an aspiring fashion designer in New York. She is working at a department store called Lacey's, holding down two jobs. She is working for Francois designing windows. She is also working for Gloria as a personal shopper.
Shop girl.
Shop girl? Is that?
No, it's personal shopper.
That's what they call
she
her.
She wants to be a personal shopper.
No, they call her a shop. Yes, they call her a shop girl.
And she's working with a mean girl named Amanda, who you might recognize from Comedy Central's The Other Two.
Very
fun. I did
it
the first time, but I do now.
She's very funny.
She is very funny. She doesn't like her at all. Now, as we mentioned, Katie was dating a very hunky boxer named K.O. Kelly. Things came to a head the last episode. They did end up breaking up, and Katie is heartbroken about that. K.O. moved out of their apartment that she lives in with several other people, and why? I'll tell you about those several other people now. They include Josie McCoy. Josie McCoy is an aspiring singer living in New York. She is currently working at a music store called Chubby's down in the West Village. She has been scouted by a producer named Alexander Cabot, who she had a little bit of a relationship with.
Big times. Chemistry. Sex.
Lots of sexy chemistry.
Oh, fuck yeah. Not since Archie Andrews has she had that much chemistry.
And that was five-ish years ago.
Yeah.
So whatever happened on the road, all those guys could go F themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Aww. Not good at it.
So Josie, though, they've decided to keep it professional. He is just going to be her manager. Now, part of the problem here is that twin sister, Zandra Cabot, really had it out for her, kept shutting down her music career. It's been very annoying for her. We find out some interesting information about that this episode.
Sexy
other characters
rope.
We should know, Jorge Lopez, whose parents own the bodega downstairs from the apartment. They also own the apartment that they all live in. Jorge is a drag performer, aspiring Broadway performer. He is dating a very hunky firefighter that I completely missed the name of.
I think his name is Bernie.
Bernie?
Bernard.
Like Bernie Sanders?
He's a fireman, Bernie. I couldn't believe it when they said his name was Bernie.
That makes sense.
I was like, that's shocking.
That tracks.
I believe it's Bernard.
So Jorge is hot for Bernie?
Exactly.
Nice.
He's a Bernie bro.
He's a Bernie girl?
Huh?
Wait, what
Ginger
is it? Picks for Bernie? Hot for Bernie?
Hot guys and hot girls for Bernie.
Oh, okay, there we go. Yeah, there's Jorge. Jorge's dating this firefighter. That's kind of all you need to know this episode.
True.
And the last one is Pepper. Pepper owns a place called the Pepper Factory. She is very much a scammer. She has scammed her way into owning this abandoned warehouse. She wants to turn it into a multimedia art space, and that's something that plays in this episode. None of her friends know she's a scammer, though I think we'll be talking about that in a little bit.
She's sleeping on the floor of the factory.
She sure is.
As you do.
And with that out of the way, speaking of sleeping in weird places, we pick up with Katie Keene in her undies and a coat, sleeping in the window of Lacey's.
Oh, I mean, who hasn't wanted to do that?
Well, I think this kicks us off with our first New York moment of the episode.
New York moment.
What was that?
So that's a new sting we're working on.
Yeah, that was I recorded that. I played that.
Yeah, I didn't do that live. I didn't just make that up.
Oh, wow.
That's a sting we pre-recorded and mixed.
We all decided on it. We had a whole meeting about it.
We had several emails.
Right. Our assistants wrote it down. They set up the meeting in our iCal.
Wait, you have an assistant?
We all have an assistant. You haven't seen.
You don't have... You're assistant. I talk to your assistant constantly.
Yeah. Chaz.
You're not talking to Chaz?
Your assistant, Chaz.
I have an assistant named Chaz?
Yes.
Yeah, you have Chaz.
Oh, man.
Is Chaz not getting our appointments to you? What, are you on the Google Doodle?
No.
Wow. Chaz.
Yeah.
Great. Great guy.
Yeah. Chaz, that doesn't make sense. He's been ordering lunch for all of us and delivering those meatball subs for you.
You've gotten the meatball subs from Chaz, haven't you?
I have gotten meatball subs.
From Chaz.
Well, I don't know who it was. I wasn't looking at the person.
Just thought
I was looking at the subs.
Free meatball sub guy. Yeah. Where's the weirdest place you've woken up in New York?
Great question. Ooh. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
There's some weird places. Yeah. In a... Oh, boy.
I will say, I mean, I can throw out just like one to start while you guys are thinking of it. There was a point, this is not a fun story necessarily, but one point I had a... horrific fever. I think it was before one of our shows, actually, like to the point where I couldn't stand up straight. And at the pit, they have those couches downstairs near the venue. So I went there a little early and I was like, all right, I'm just going to sit down on this couch and completely fell asleep on the couch until our show.
Wow. You woke up for our show, though?
I woke up for, I think, I don't know. Did I wake up for the show?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I fallen asleep in a lot, like a construction site.
Wow.
After going there to hook up with somebody.
You were hooking up in an empty abandoned lot?
Yeah, there's construction going on. Not then. It was at night, obviously.
Okay. Sure. Were you like, you want to watch cement dry?
What?
The sexiest thing that could happen.
Oh, watch a cement truck? No, yeah. None of it was going. I was a cement truck. I also woke up on the subway many times.
Oh, yeah. Sure. The worst is the last stop. You know, you're like way out somewhere, and someone's just shaking you, being like, "Yo, man, you gotta get up." And it's just like, "Oh, fuck." I think the time that it hurt the most was I only needed to be on the L train for two stops, and I woke up on the last stop way out there, and it took me forever to get back.
My worst I fell asleep on the same night twice. I was going home. I lived in Carroll Gardens, and I had to get on the F train. And I had to go downtown a couple, and I had to go uptown a couple stops to get the train because it was closed and going downtown. Got on the train and woke up on Roosevelt Island.
Oh, no, that's bad.
That was bad. I woke up. There's this like dude who I think was Russian who was like, "What are you, first generation American?" I was like, "Nah, not really. My family came from Canada like two generations back." He's like, "You know how hard it is to be," and I was like, started yelling at me, waiting for the train. This is like 4 a.m. Go ride the train. I make it almost all the way back, and I fell asleep again. Woke up at Coney Island.
Wow, what a tour of New York sights.
Sun coming up.
Oh, jeez. Did you just get on the cycle?
Yeah, or you just like, fuck it.
I was like, now let's have a day. I was in no shape to enjoy a roller coaster.
I'll take two Nathan's hot dogs, please.
Let me get straight. Give me two Nathan hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, so Katie wakes up in the window.
That has been New York moments.
Yeah. By the way, thanks for recording that in advance.
I did know. You know what? I went to our professional studio. Chaz actually was the engineer on
that
one.
He's a great producer.
Great producer. Really smart.
Good. He's recording your album, right?
Yes, exactly. My album of vocal drops. It's going to be really fun to listen to.
So Gloria yells at her. We are, of course, in media res, as they say, and it jumps back in time. To find out how we looped back up to that, we got a little "It Must Have Been Love." Love the sound cues across the board in the show. Yeah. So much fun. But Katie, she can't design, she can't sew. She buys ice cream from a well-placed Alexa.
I was like, okay.
Okay, CW, you got those marketing dollars. Go for it.
Well played, CW.
Yeah, I like that better than Bumble. In Riverdale.
Yes. At least it wasn't part of the plot.
Sure. But did she ever get that ice cream? That was my big question.
She makes it clear she's been eating a lot of ice cream, trying to make herself feel better after the KO. All that dairy is going to really KO her stomach.
In fact, she does imagine KO in her bed. She tries to text him. He gives her the three dots.
Oof,
all very sad.
Got the three dots.
But when he finally talks about why, it's legit.
You're on KO side.
I'm all KO.
You're team KO?
Yeah, I mean, after a week...
You're not team Satan.
Yeah. Can we finally talk about this?
No, we're not there
yet.
This is bullshit.
I'm just asking you if you're team Satan. It's unrelated to the show.
I'm just upset that after a week, she's ready to start dating.
She's not ready to start dating.
She's ready to just maybe...
She's ready to embrace Satan.
Stop.
Well, the girls want to do a night out.
Yes. They approach her. Very cute.
It's too soon. Only a week. You got to give somebody
more
time.
Dressed in black. They want to do a girls' night out, but they give her red sparkly shoes.
Ruby slippers, you
might call slippers.
Them.
Like Dorothy, except we get a Cinderella riff at the end. So lots of stuff going on there.
Confusing.
Yes.
I thought they would have been shiny, cool, silver.
I thought they'd lead into the whole Dorothy, Wizard of Oz thing a little harder. But,
they definitely didn't. I thought, they sort of have it where they're all off to see the club. The wonderful Wizard of Club.
Sure.
If there are four of them, it could have all really...
Yeah, I wonder if they wrote it and then they saw that Sabrina, for its premiere, was straight up doing like Wizard of Oz, no bones about it, Wizard of Oz, and we're like, let's tweak it a little bit.
I feel like they would have known since it's similar creative team. They know what's going on those other shows.
I'm saying like the Sabrina script got turned in and then they had a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Because it's fine. I think it's fine to throw those little details in there.
The Cinderella riff makes more sense.
Yes.
So
than the Ruby slippers.
Yes, indeed. Rip.
What was it before a glass slipper in the original story? I assume it wasn't Ruby slippers.
No, it was... I think it was always a glass slipper.
Was it always a glass slipper?
Yeah.
But her feet get bloody or something like that?
No, the stepsisters, try to fit in the glass slipper, cuts off her toes and the other one cuts off her heel.
Oh, right.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, you got to watch the extended Disney version on Disney Plus.
Yeah, they really do close-ups.
Yeah, way to plug the plus there, bro.
I'm trying to get a free subscription. So at this point, Josie and Alex talk. He wants her to meet his dad and sell him on rebooting Cabot Records. Now, rather than splitting off, everything actually nicely dovetails back and forth this episode. So I think we can just talk through the plot
Let's
here.
Drive it through like long haul truckers making their way home.
And meanwhile, Jorge is hooking up with Bernie Sanders, I believe.
Yep, that's what it is.
And it's very...
That guy's everywhere, man.
Very hot and heavy. He's talking about socialism, really pushing forward, getting a lot of delegates, if you know what I mean.
He's delegating some.
Ooh, there we go.
I love how on board the parents are super, Jorge's nervous. Bernie comes down and is like, hey, just being me, I'm a fireman. Yeah. And they're like, yeah. And then the dad zings Jorge.
That was tough, man.
Yeah.
But that was also kind of like, I don't know, it was also kind of like classic dad a little bit.
I actually loved how subtle this storyline was. Because
yes.
I feel like the easy storyline would be the dad does not approve of Jorge being homosexual. He's never approved of it. He feels very uncomfortable about it. And he needs to deal with it from his Latinx perspective or whatever, you know? But instead, the fact that he immediately sees the firefighter is like, the expression on his face.
Pure joy.
Loves it.
Yeah.
Thinks it's great, but it becomes a dad thing instead, to your point, where he is pushing down Jorge and doesn't feel like Jorge is good enough for this firefighter.
Right. Yeah.
That's good. That's complex storytelling.
Yeah. It's definitely a different take.
It's smart, and it puts, it immediately infects Jorge with that thinking, he thinks he's not good enough for Bernie.
And then he starts the spiral.
Yeah, he has to find his way back to that and then confront his dad in sort of a nice way, because the dad is actually very straight about it at the end, where he's like, I was just, sort of joking around. And Jorge's like, it really hits me when you do that, and it has affected this night anyway. And the dad's like, all right.
Yeah, sounds good. I'll do something different.
Yeah.
Great. Love the dad. Love the mom. Her reaction to when the firefighter relieves and she just goes, Jorge.
Yeah.
So funny. So good. Love the parents. Want to see more of them. And then we go over to another character that I love, Katie, doing a terrible job of hanging the mannequins in the window. And Francois talks to her and is like, Katie, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I really like these heart-to-hearts on the window, too. I'm enjoying them.
Francois is a real, like, parental figure for Katie.
Yes.
It's where she goes to get real, to talk about her problems. Francois gives her, like, pretty good advice and then sort of vanishes. Right. He really is like, it takes a while to get over breakups. Bye, gotta go.
Yeah, that's the thing about Francois. Like, he's so lightly used. I really want him more. He's a great actor. He's been in a ton of stuff. I really love what he's doing with this role, and I just hope that we get to see more. Because right now it's just a little sprinkled in there, which is enjoyable, but we get so much with her other job. You know?
Yeah, definitely put it on sort of the storybook, and this is a fairy tale by its own admission. He's sort of the fairy godmother to Gloria's like maleficent
wicked stepmother.
Yeah, wicked stepmother.
Sure.
I mean, I'm crossing the right. fairy tale lines, but like yeah. Gloria's
more like the Scar.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. She's like a mean Uncle Lion.
Yeah, and then she comes right at Katie. She's like, can you even beam anymore? Like, you know, she's commenting on the fact that Katie has been moping around.
Yeah, I did like the Beetlejuice reference.
Yeah, Amanda's just crushing it.
Yeah, calling her Lydia. I do wonder about that line where she's like, you look like Lydia from Beetlejuice. There was something about that line where it was like, I feel like the original line was, you look like Lydia. Or Lydia Deetz or something, and people are like, you got to explain that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. If they said, you look like Lydia Deetz, I'd be like, okay.
I don't know. I would have liked it.
Nice. Very subtle Beetlejuice fandom.
Pander to me, Katie Keene. Pander to me specifically. Now, Gloria tells Amanda and Katie that Guy LaMontagne is coming, and they really got to put the charm on because they got to get his fashion account and sell it so that they could save Lacey's, as we find out later. So that's a big deal. We set up the stakes with that, how important Guy LaMontagne is. Meanwhile, Pepper has a Tisch student come by the Pepper plant. He's rented out the Pepper plant to film what he says is an art film. Very quickly turns out.
The Rodfather 2.
It's the Rodfather 2. It's a gay porno.
Yeah.
I really want to find out more about the Rodfather 1 and whether he did that and whether what
themes is he following up on?
Right. Yeah. And is the Rodfather part 3, is that disappointing?
Yeah. Definitely. Gets too deep into it.
Purposefully disappointing?
Yes. He really plays with time, though, in the Rodfather part 2.
Yeah. So smart. So inspiring.
Yes. He can only give her half the money, so she takes a couch as payment. A
sex couch.
A sex couch, a fuck couch. Have to get the Saiyans out of there. And then we're back to Guy. Let's talk about this, Pete. You've been sitting on your hands all episode. Could it be Satan?
Yeah, so the big reveal of the special guest in this episode is a huge crossover with Sabrina, where Satan is posing as a clothing designer. And is tricking Katie Keene, our Katie Keene, into falling in love with him.
Well, I think we're going to see more of him, so get ready to worship Satan.
Yes. I mean, to be clear, it's also Lucifer. It's the actor who plays Lucifer on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. It is an interesting detail because they've done these very light crossovers with Riverdale and Sabrina, mm-hmm. where they had Billy, one of the football players from Sabrina, was on Riverdale. They've also mentioned Greendale a bunch of times over on Sabrina. They had, what's his name? Ben Button showed up with some pizza. And they've mentioned Riverdale and been to Riverdale a couple of times and mentioned some continuity stuff there. They haven't got a strict crossover. We know for a fact that Riverdale and Katie Keene are in continuity with each other. We don't specifically know that Riverdale and Sabrina are absolutely in continuity with each other. But this is definitely it feels like this is the biggest actor who's played a big role on both shows.
Yeah, and it's very stressful because it's already hard enough to deal with this breakup that she did with KO, even though that she still loves him. But now I got to see her go on dates and hang out with Satan, and it is stressful.
I mean, the cool thing about it is Katie Keene is going to become Sabrina's stepmom.
Oh, yeah. Right.
That's fun.
Hail Caden. The great ship name.
I mean, what do you think? This isn't Lucifer, right?
No, I think They like to use the same actors who are good at their jobs, so they just slide yeah, him over here.
They've got to at least consider the fact that this is confusing. I wanted a little thing of like, this isn't Satan from Sabrina.
Oh, you want, you want a title on the screen.
Yeah, I want a Chiron or something, because like, fuck you, man. We all watch the same shows. Like, and help us out.
Really, we should have that on all characters in all shows. This isn't Satan, just so we're clear right. on any show.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think it was very confusing for me, Katie Keene, when she first showed up on the show. She should have been, real quick, I'm not the same character from Life Sentence or from Pretty Little Liars.
Yeah.
Or Fantasy Island, now out in theaters.
Yeah. They might be the same character.
They might be the same character.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, anyway, Lucifer shows up. He doesn't want to sell at a brick and mortar store. He's very against that. He finds it old fashioned. And then Katie, who is very tired, identifies the wrong outfit, calls out the wrong outfit, says it's his. It's not, guys. He walks out and Gloria shuts her down. And then Mrs. Lacey amps
the ultimate shutdown.
Very big change for Mrs. Lacey, who was kindly old lady the last time we saw her.
Yeah, she
now
nasty.
She's straight up bitch.
Yeah, she's mean. She's old Gloria.
Yeah, Gloria.
I mean,
Gloria.
She's upset. It's understandable. She's upset because that was a big thing, and she blew it
for sure. It was just surprising to me that the first episode she was like, what a great window. Katie Keene, you have a job forever. And this episode, she's like, you're fired.
Yeah.
That's how Get out of here.
That's how fashion works, man.
That's how it works at Macy's and Lacey's.
How's your line going, by the way, Pete?
Hey, fuck you.
Why? Why are you mad? Oh, because your fashion line is crashing
upset. And
burning.
He's upset because he called his line pee-pee or Pete twice.
Yeah.
And people didn't like that, and they're not buying his clothes.
People don't like pee-pee.
Yeah.
Don't you want to be covered in pee-pee?
Head to toe, pee-pee.
Yeah, it'll catch on. Yeah. And it's mostly scarves, or what are you leaning into?
Mostly scarves. Fuck you! It's ascots, and you know that.
No. Ascot's just a classy scarf.
Yeah, you really shouldn't be.
You don't know what you're talking about.
On his line, though, where he sells it at Target, he calls them butt cops.
Yeah.
It's Target.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow. You're losing on all fronts.
Yes. So the stakes get set up. Mrs. Lacey says that if they don't get Guy's line, Lacey's will have to shut down, and Katie is fired. Big stakes going on.
Stakes could not be higher. So what do? Go back to your apartment and have a musical number.
Yeah. That's exactly what you do.
First, though, they have a little bit of a chat. Katie calls Pepper. Pepper says she's going to track down Guy. Girls talk in the apartment. Pepper has not heard from Guy. Now, I got to say, this definitely made me perk up a little bit, because I was like, Pepper's lying to her friends now, right?
I think she lies all the time.
Yeah. Except for the fact that then later on, she does, in fact, know Guy, which made me question my earlier assumption.
I think she knows Guy. Guy knows her, but I don't think she can, like, call. I think she's always just big-upping herself and over-talking what she can actually do, which is how she gets by and makes her money.
Right. I guess we'll see. There definitely seems to be a lot of that in this episode, and this is the first time we've seen her try to pull this stuff with her friends in particular.
Well, I think she's lied to them a lot about, like, what she's doing. She says in every episode she's talked about how she's been hobnobbing with famous people, but in fact she's been at a factory.
Yeah. So Pepper is not heard from Guy. Jorge talks about his insecurity with Bernie, which... Same thing with Amy Klobuchar, I would say.
Oh, I have it as Bernardo.
Oh, is it Bernardo?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
But they call him Bernie.
They call him Bernie.
Bernie show for Bernardo.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Just like Bernardo Sanders.
Just putting it out there, guys.
Senior Bernardo Sanders.
And they think Katie needs someone to get over KO, but first they need to do a musical number. Mm. And we get our first big group musical number to
That's
Dirty.
Fun.
By Christina Aguilera. You seem mixed on it.
Well,
Dirty
it was
with
weird.
Two R's. Dirty with two R's.
Yes, no doubt. You. All the other musical numbers have been like performances.
Yes.
And this was the first one that was sort of like, oh, what? Oh.
Oh, this is a musical?
Yeah.
When did you all practice this?
Yeah. And it was cool. Like, it was cool. It was just a little odd.
I'm on the same page as you. It was super fun. I enjoyed it throughout. But it definitely has a different tone than the previous music numbers. We have talked about how they were very organic up until this point.
Right.
And I have loved all the musical numbers up till this one felt a little like, oh, you didn't have other musical numbers, so you sort of shoehorned this one in.
I don't know. know. I felt like, you know, Dirty's popular song. They probably sang it a bunch of times.
I mean, like, we're hanging out. Sometimes I'll start singing. You guys join in. And all of a sudden, we're choreographing a dance. And then we're doing that dance.
What I was happy
Dirty,
about.
Very specifically.
Specifically Dirty.
Yeah. What I was happy about, though, is we got to hear Katie Keene sing a little bit. You know, like, we got other people involved.
And Pepper. Pepper sang as well.
Yeah. So I was happy about that part.
Yeah. It's fun. It's all fine. It's good. But it definitely delves it into the realm of musical a lot more than organic musical, I think.
Yes.
I don't know. It's such a fine line with you.
It is.
It's such a fine line with you.
What's that song?
That was a new song.
Oh, wow.
It's pre-recorded.
Talk to Chaz. See if he can book some studio time for you.
Got to meet the Cabots.
Speaking of which, Josie goes to the club to meet Alex and his dad.
NDA.
Signs the NDA. Has a great eye roll at this.
Huge eye roll.
Huge eye roll. Loving Josie in this episode. Mr. Cabot, who seems actually very nice, asks her to sing, which she does. They're loving it. At which point, Xandra comes in and starts duetting with her.
Oh, I couldn't believe that.
Force the duet.
And another great character choice, I think, here, that Mr. Cabot doesn't love it. Like, it would be a very easy thing for him to be like, no, I'm siding with my daughter, Xandra. Yeah. But he's also like, I have had it up to fucking here with
she
her.
Does this all the time. Get out of my songs.
Yes. So he's annoyed with Xandra. And we... we find out the information that she is meeting with Guy for Caboteur, I think is the name of the website. And then we got the big reveal. She says, you know, back in high school, you couldn't keep your hands off of me. Josie looks like she's about to vomit. And then the truth comes out. They were high school sweethearts. They were never twins at all.
They're
I'm
step
so
siblings.
Glad she fucking loses it and storms out.
Yeah, she tells them off.
Get the fuck out of there. Get out of there.
Yeah. Classic Cruel Intentions thing going on here is straight up what they're doing. But that's fun.
But and it works.
Everything that she was doing before a little bit more crystallized and like...
Explains the robe from the last time.
Yeah, that creepy-ass robe they got her. But also, like, I was like, why does she seem more kind of like... into her brother, and I was like, is that just a weird actor choice? But that paid off with this kind of announcement.
And even beyond that, that's why she sees Josie as more of a threat, because maybe she still wants to be in a relationship with her high school sweetheart who has the same name as her,
right? Which is normal. I mean, we've all watched Game of Thrones.
Exactly. I've dated a Justine. Right. Pete dated Petra.
I dated my sister.
Yep. Yep. Now no one's batting an eyelash here.
Josie storms out, calls Katie, lets her know that Guy is going to be up at the club, and Pepper says she's going to get them in, takes her to the back door. Another very funny moment with Josie where she freaks out, thinks there's a cat in the alleyway, but it turns out it's a rat.
It's a rat girl.
Now, if you noticed, like, this is one of the first kind of episodes where we're seeing the underbelly of New York a little bit more. It's not all sunshine.
Real crime alley situation.
Exactly. They're in a hallway to one of the most popular clubs in New York City.
And it's just one of those things where she's noticing there are giant rats and it's not as bright and cheery since, you know. So I was happy that we're seeing both sides of New York a little
bit. What's the closest you guys have been to a rat in New York City?
Oh, my God. I've, like, punted a rat.
Punted?
Punted?
Yeah. What does that mean? With your drop kicked?
I was running down the street, and a rat started to take off a run at the same time and got in my way.
Oh, you were in a rat race.
Fucking punted
him. You were in a rat race.
Yeah, I was in a rat race.
Yeah, they were both stockbrokers at the time. Yeah.
I've been way too close to rats. Like, when I've lived... my first apartment in New York, it was three dudes in a one bedroom.
Three dudes, one rat. Rat never paid his rent.
And there were rats.
But now that rat is president of the United States of America.
That's true. Alex, you?
Closest to a rat?
What about your Long Island City penthouse? Any rats in there?
No. We kept it quite clean. I don't know. We probably could mention that we know the guy who invented Pizza Rat,
Matt Little.
Matt Little took the video of Pizza Rat, went viral.
Actually, Pat Bear filmed it.
Oh, Bear filmed it?
I believe so. Matt Little was...
standing there?
The guy. Well, it was like he was like, let's do this.
Oh, okay. let's dress in a rat costume.
I don't know. Maybe Pat Bear was there in Matt Little filmed. I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Whatever it is, neither of them are making any money
off
of that.
You had no interactions with rats. You live in New York City.
Did you just die? What just happened?
Yeah. I just can't believe that you've been up.
I see rats all the time on the subway. What are you talking about?
Okay, but you've
I don't think I've ever touched a rat because I haven't gone towards a rat.
No, but I'm just saying you've never lived in a place with a rat in your whole life.
No, what?
Oh, my God.
My first apartment, there were seven of us living in Gravesend, Brooklyn, in a five-bedroom. And one poor guy, Jace, lived in the basement. And one guy saw a rat in the house. And then he was like, it was in my bedroom upstairs. We were like, no way. And then we were sitting on the couch, and we saw it run down the stairs and go into the basement. We were like, that rat's real.
That's horrifying.
And then Jace, 2 days later, Jace woke up in the middle of the night, was walking, and the basement was really unfinished, gross. He turned on the light in the hallway in the basement, and the rat, like a sitcom, looked up at him like, huh? And Jace looked at it, he grabbed the broom, and with one strike, killed it.
Oh, my
God.
No
way.
Yeah.
No way.
Swear.
Wow.
I saw the rat corpse. And this thing...
With a broom?
This thing was like, I'm going to say, a foot, not including the tail.
Big I've taken rat. A shovel... to rats, and it's taken a bunch of hits.
You kill them?
You got lucky.
You don't get, like, the safe traps or anything?
Pete works in the New York. Those are for mice.
Oh, okay. All right. I get mice in my apartment all the time, but not rats.
Okay. Fucking white gloves living over here.
Yeah, my fancy apartment that's fucking full of mice and roaches. Thank you.
There it is. We'll get to roaches at some point.
Oh, God.
I haven't ever really had roaches.
Oh, I have roach stories. Great. When we get there, I'll definitely talk about
that. Oh, I have a fun roach story.
I'll tell you what. Last night when we were taping our podcast, I moved my nightstand so that I can get the microphone in the right place. And I'm deathly afraid of roaches. And I moved the nightstand, and there was just a roach underneath it, just twitching, like its antenna going. And I froze up. And that's when you guys called me on Skype. And I was like, oh, shit, now I got to sit here for an hour.
Well, that's why you screamed for the first 20 minutes.
Look forward to that in our Lock and Key Unlocked feed. Just nonstop screaming. Anyway, Josie does scream. She gets a promise from her. She says, listen, I'm going to tell you what's going on with Zandra and Alex, but you can't talk about it in your column at all. And Pepper says, no, I would never do that. I'm not going to betray my friends. Bouncer lets them in the back of the club, and they're having a great time.
Everyone's
as they get in there, Guy is talking to Zandra. Josie comes up with a plan, which is, I'm going to walk by Zandra, and it's going to drive her insane.
Works.
Totally works.
I love that. That was very fun.
Very fun plan. And Katie immediately goes over to talk to Guy. Pepper, as we mentioned, actually knows him. Meanwhile, Jorge is drinking at the bar. They get free drinks because Birdie's a firefighter, which you were a bartender. Is that true? You give free drinks to firefighters?
People in uniform, yeah.
Okay. He was out of uniform.
If it's a regular, I think he had an FDNY t-shirt on.
Okay.
I think that's not abnormal. Anytime during Fleet Week, we would give drinks to all the Navy guys coming into the bar.
Yeah. Any sort of uniform?
Not like a Superman uniform.
Oh, no, but you're
providing. But thank you for sharing.
If Superman flew into your bar, you wouldn't give him a free drink?
I was mostly talking to the idea of Alex showing up.
Right.
If
I flew, quote unquote, into a bar, quote unquote. Okay.
I don't know. I'd be like, Superman, should you really be drinking?
Yeah. I'd be like, don't judge him. He's got to have some time. What the fuck?
What is it? Fucking kryptonite? I could cut myself over whatever I want.
Yeah. Superman's cocky about how much he can drink.
Yeah. I could drink you under the fucking table.
Yeah, cocky attitude. I'm Clark Kent.
He probably wouldn't do that.
Glasses on, glasses off, glasses off.
Call Lex Luthor if you're mad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh,
so they get the free drinks. A guy hits on Bernie. Jorge flips out.
Yeah.
Back over to Zandra, who confronts Josie in a hallway. Mr. Big Stuff playing in the background. Kept writing down the music cues because man. Very
great
fun
stuff.
This episode.
Great stuff.
Josie feels great. She feels great because she thought there was something wrong with her when Zandra turned her down. Turns out that Zandra is just a jealous ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
And then there's another nice moment, lots of really nice character moments throughout this episode where people, I feel like, are acting emotionally smart.
Yeah,
Josie turns
that.
Back and says, you're a good singer. Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
The way that the actress who plays Zandra portrays it on her face, you could see her wavering a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very, very nice moment.
Yeah, it was good.
Points to, I think she's always going to be the mean girl, but something down the road, you could also potentially infer Josie was best friends with Cheryl Blossom, so she knows how to deal with girls like this.
Yeah, that's Josie seems the most sort of stabilized one, despite the fact that she's the newest to the city, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I love Josie on this show. We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah, Josie's so great. She was amazing on Riverdale. She's killing it on this show.
She's better on this show.
I want to talk about the Bernardo Jorge talk, though.
Well, we'll get there in a moment. We're not quite there because first, Katie is trying to sell Guy on Lacey's. Katie is pissed that he doesn't want it. And then she storms away, drinks her drink, storms away. She is crying up in the club. Very funny.
She is blowing it left and right with this dude.
She is. Yeah. She's very tired.
Which I was very excited about because it's Satan.
Well, he's clearly not being charming enough for Satan. Yeah, that's all
he's
I'm
Prince
saying.
Charming Satan.
Yes. So she is crying up at the club. Is this her rock bottom, she says, which I was like, I don't know, this is a pretty high rock bottom.
Yeah, thing. You're in like, Studio 34. Yeah.
You're doing just fine. And then it turns out KO is there.
Fuck. A lot of boxers popping into the high-end clubs.
It always happens. Yeah. Always happens. Meanwhile, Pepper gets a call. Landlady is going to shut down the chute. She heads off to take care of that. And then we get the confrontation on the dance floor. Blood on the dance floor here. Jorge is upset, doesn't understand why Bernie is with him. And I think he needs to look to Hillary because I'm with her.
Yeah, I just think that it was really a nice thing for Bernardo to just be like, what are you talking about, Jorge? When you're on stage, and
this is the conversation later on, right? Well,
yeah.
That's fine. You can talk about it now. Go for it, Pete.
But I just
follow your dreams.
This podcast is about dreaming. And if you want to talk about stuff out of order, that's your dream.
It is my dream.
Then achieve your dream.
I just like the emotional intelligence to be like, instead of just being like, no, you're great, whatever, like the fact that like breaks down why Jorge is amazing and why we all know Jorge is amazing.
I will say I like that a lot. I do feel like the hunks on this show are ciphers for the other characters to reflect off of at this point.
Of course you said cipher.
I do. My favorite X-Men character. But both Bernie and KO are like, I love you unequivocally no matter what. Tell me what your problems are. I'll help to solve them.
They're perfect.
Yes.
Both of them.
And I want like a little fault. Like a little fault.
I think we're going to find that. I bet you KO will have a new relationship before Katie does.
Ooh.
That's my prediction.
You watch your mouth.
And that'll be part of some bad stuff from KO.
Yeah. Well, speaking of KO, he reveals that he is trying out to be a bouncer at the club. That's why he is there. He quit Molly's crisis in order to give Katie space.
Again, very nice.
Very nice. He's miserable.
Yeah.
And he walks away, and Josie hugs Katie. Very sweet, very sad scene.
Yeah, the whole explanation of why he didn't text her back was pretty solid.
Yeah, of course he's sad. She broke up with him. She was the one that felt conflicted. And then we go over to Pepper, get a fun scene there. She confronts the landlord. Jorge and Bernie enter as ludicrously fake cops.
It's very funny.
You believe the firefighter, but...
Right. I mean, listen, here's another thing. This is nothing against Johnny Beauchamp, who is wonderful in the role of Jorge. But the fact that Bernie turns to him was like, wow, that was some amazing acting as a cop is like, I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, I got to say, New York City, it's not like all the cops look like Bernie. Like,
sure.
There are cops of all shapes and sizes. So,
absolutely.
Like, I bought the whole thing. And I think Jorge does do a good job of being like, telling the lady to leave and that they got it.
When he says that he played Officer Krupke in high school, that tracked a little closer for me.
I actually thought that's very weird casting for a high school musical.
Right.
He plays Officer Krupke? That's the weirdest part to me.
I don't know. I mean, you take what you can get in high
school. West Side Story, you cast Jorge as Officer Krupke?
Yeah. No, you don't think so?
No.
Why not? Who would you cast?
Any other character. Officer Krupke's like... sort of a jerk, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he was channeling.
I don't know.
Maybe
I'm talking separate of the scene. I'm talking about how they cast their high school musical.
Right. He should have been like, I played the Rebbe in Fiddler on the Roof.
No. They don't change the show.
I was the witch in Into the Woods.
That's where they cut off their toes and heels.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Into the Woods.
I saw Into the Woods on Broadway and had a very delightful time when I was a kid.
My wife was in Into the Woods recently, and I saw that show.
Oh, how was she?
Very good. She played the baker's wife.
Great. Then I guess she could bake things.
Yeah. Actually, not really.
It's all acting. Yeah.
So yeah, they come in.
They don't make you bake much in the show. Not a lot of actual stage baking.
It's not cinema verite.
No, not stage. The stagecraft is.
Gotcha. So anyway, so they enter as the fake cops. They have a fight about it, but the landlord is okay. The director wants the firefighter to act in the film. And Jorge is pissed off about it. He's like, why? Because I look like a porn cop.
Yeah.
Very funny line. But Jorge says, no, I'm going to go get pizza with my girls. While they're out at pizza, Josie gets a call from the Cabot's office. He wants to meet in the morning. And Katie goes see Guy, tells him his work is overrated. Now, this is another New York moment that I wanted to ask you about.
Wait. She doesn't go see Satan. She bum rushes him.
Yeah,
she
and insults his work.
Yeah, like straight bull charges him.
Right.
It works.
Well, he's walking by himself in the rain.
At Satan. I was like, this is not going to end well.
He's not Satan. He's a guy.
Yes.
He's a guy named Guy.
Here's a New York moment that I wanted to ask you about. Getting late night food. Is pizza the best late night 2 a.m. drunk food, or is there a better one?
Well, if we were in Rochester, New York, I would say a garbage plate.
We're talking about New York City.
Dear God, let's not talk about Rochester moments.
Well, Rochester is technically in New York.
So we're talking about New York
City. If you want to talk about rats running over people, let's talk about Rochester moments.
The way rats run over people in Rochester is they're driving a car.
Yeah. The rats are so used to that, they even put the chains on their tires. Like,
yeah,
rats
got a snow tire.
Yeah,
those are also made out of rats.
Best late night food is at the bar. 3 a.m., call the local bodega, have them deliver salami sandwich, cheddar cheese, mustard, roll, bag of jalapeno chips.
Wait a second.
And then shit your pants in the morning.
Wait, how does a bodega deliver? What is that?
The bodega in my old neighborhood.
Yeah, but some bodegas deliver.
Wow.
You call and be like, hey, I need cigarettes, I need a couple glasses of beer.
At the bodega, I have to go to this little window where the little guy, so you can't shoot it up.
Yeah, back
salami sandwich, really. That is intense.
That's my late night move. And I'll tell you, it's not good for your body, but man, it tastes good when you're eating it. Wow. After you've had like 8 beers.
Yeah.
The Gravesend neighborhood I was talking about earlier, we would walk and you'd go to the window and be like, best, like, turkey club.
For me, it's... Well, down in the Lower East Side, there was like this one bodega that made unbelievable cheesesteaks and chopped cheese. And it was like, oh.
To New York chopped cheese, got to get it. Yeah. The other thing we did one night when we were leaving a bar, it was like 5 a.m. in the Lower East Side, we went to the McDonald's. And as we're there, we're waiting this massive line. Everyone's drunk. We finally get to the front of the line, and the menu changes over to breakfast. Everybody lost their fucking minds.
Wait, angry or
mad? Yeah,
so everyone angry.
Was like,
McDonald's breakfast though when you're drunk.
They didn't have fries.
No. Oh, no,
everyone was
bad.
Wheeling and dealing. I was like, "What sandwich do you have?" And they were like, "We have a fish." I was like, "I'll have the fish."
Wow.
Everyone, you got a fight
drunk
broke out.
Fish sandwich.
Oh, my God. No shame. Loved it. One of the lucky
fries
ones.
Fries are good. I mean, you can find like a Fritz place or something like that.
What are you? Get the fuck out of here.
You don't live in the same city we do.
What podcast about Gay Paris, is it not?
And steak tartares do you get?
Exactly.
At 11:30 p.m.
Well, I have my butler bring it to me at my penthouse.
What are your favorite butler asks?
I enjoy a nice mousse.
Honestly, like, at Slice to me is the best because it's plain and it's simple and it soaks up the alcohol. That's it. And then usually in the morning, I'll get like a bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll at the bodega or something like that. Mm. And I will say, I reverse that. Really? Bacon, egg, and cheese at night?
No, I go like a bacon cheeseburger at night and then. And then I have the
pizza in the morning.
Pizza in the morning.
Something my wife and I used to do when we would do shows at the Pit every week is we'd go out, drink, and then we lived in Times Square. So we'd walk up 8th Avenue, I guess it was. There was a White Castle there.
Oh.
And every time we'd be like, I guess
disgusting.
We could get
I used to live. Burgers.
I was at the walk past a White Castle, and after a couple of drinks, it was so hard to walk.
The lady knew me. It's like eating air.
So. The lady knew you? She would pee.
Yeah, she...
Can I ask you a question about White Castle? Maybe you know this then, because we've been trying to remember this for years. We felt like there was an off number we got for some reason, like there is 9 for some reason. Like, did they serve a sack of 9?
Oh, there might have. I don't know.
Anytime you're ordering food by the sack, you've made an error.
But did you get it steamed? Were you did when you asked to work?
Of course, you get it steamed.
All right, because you know sometimes they really? Don't ask. They don't
I didn't know there was another way to get it other than steamed.
Oh, I love the steam. They
good old steamed hams.
Oh, they just disgusting. And then it melts right in your. Oh.
Yeah, we'd get like 9 of them. Each eat 4, share the last one.
God, what a romance.
Immediately go to sleep.
Really, Lady and the Tramp, the 9th
bunch
hamburger.
Of roaches running over our faces.
Oh. I think the roaches are coming out of you at that point.
Yes. I will say also just last thing about the bodega thing is later on, Jorge has a bodega cup. That's the best. That amount of coffee, milk and sugar, very good.
Coffee should be black.
No, but okay. So where were we? Okay, so Katie sees this guy. She tells him his work is overrated. He loves
it. He's like, thank God, someone's finally being honest with me. New York City, everyone's honest. Not true.
Also, nobody loves that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all right. Classic romantic comedy thing. He's definitely being set up.
I like the idea of it, though, that, like, you know, you want someone to be a straight shooter with you. Yeah.
Yes, it felt very rom-com to me, which is totally fine. I think that's what the show is going for. Is
this whole sequence was definitely that.
So she's like, why don't I show you my New York? Takes him to Lacey's at night. This is the second, third time she's broken into
Lacey's. She likes to break into her store, which is definitely not cool.
No, but they walk through at night. She really sells him on it, specifically by telling him a story of a time she went there with her mom. Guy remembers his first wallet that he got at Sears. He still carries it with him.
I always remember my first wallet.
This is a part that I did not relate to at all.
Yeah, the first wallet.
No one's ever bought you anything?
No, but all the, like, wow, here's a thing that I remember getting at a department store. I never really had a connection like that.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I get it really works here.
Yes.
And I bought this as a thing. Like, I thought it was well done.
Yeah.
Because she does make a good case. Like, do you want people who are your customers to remember just buying it online or like going to a place and you actually can sell them on it? And then she overpromises them having an entire floor of the store, which I thought was pretty wild.
Bonkers. Yeah. She's very drunk at this point, though.
She's about to kiss him, barfs in her purse.
Yep. Classic.
Which I was so happy about.
Yeah. Because he wanted her to feel better and get all that pizza out.
Yeah. Do you think it was just pea soup she barfed up because he's Satan?
No, I just I don't want them to hook up ever.
Well, she's got a lot of suitors at this point. She's got a literal prince. She's got her figurative prince. Plus, of course, she's got K.O. Kelly when he inevitably comes back.
Yeah.
Probably more down the pike.
Down the pike.
I'm not ready for it.
I think romance is going to be here.
I think we're
going to
get a classic Mrs. Doubtfire type scenario going on.
K.O. is going to dress like their maid. Is that what you meant?
No, I meant she's going to have a bunch of dates on the same night.
Oh.
What?
Doesn't that happen to Mrs. Doubtfire?
It's crazy to be like, we got a Mrs. Doubtfire situation and not it be a man dressing like a woman. There's no other way to say classic Mrs. Like, Doubtfire situation
I thought it was
without referencing a man dressing like a woman.
I thought it was a classic Mrs. Doubtfire situation. We put a pie in your face and then you start yelling.
You guys are both crazy. Wow. I love the idea that if someone's like, why don't you guys go through draw what you think a classic Mrs. Doubtfire situation is, and you would draw multiple dates in one evening. Definitely not that. You would draw a pie in the face. Happens all the time. And I would draw a woman dressing like a man, a man dressing like a woman to maintain on with his kids.
I don't think that's the point of the movie, man. All right. I think the point of the movie is calling people euphogenia.
Yeah. Euphonagia Doubtfire.
People wonder why I wanted to do Robin Williams in my secret trivia.
This is that's wrong show right for that. There. So she throws up, calls the girls, falls asleep in the window of Lacey's, has the best sleep she's had in weeks. So she should always sleep in a window, I think.
Definitely.
Is the lesson there. Then we cut back to Gloria discovering her. Mrs. Lacey calls in Katie and Gloria, and we get a little bit of a riff on the classic, you terrible, 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 wonderful woman type scene.
It's great. Works out. Gloria ends up back in Katie, and as we find out at the end, He gets a whole floor. It's perfect.
It was weird, though, that like she woke up and nobody on the streets of New York had gathered around to watch someone who was passed out in a window.
Oh, yeah. Everybody would be taking pictures.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Well, it was probably pretty early. Also, like, it might have been a part of the window dressing.
Sure. Sure. Sleeping lady.
The old sleeping lady.
Yeah.
Classic. I'm just saying, would have gone viral.
Have you been by Macy's recently? There's a bunch of people sleeping around there.
Yeah.
In the window.
That's where I'm going tonight.
A couple of other things happened. As we mentioned, Jorge talks to Bernie. He never felt masculine enough for his dad. Bernie totally gets it. Firefighter loves it. And the last little bit with that storyline, as we mentioned, is Jorge talks to his dad, and his dad is like, okay, sounds good. I'm going to be better from now on.
It's good stuff. I want to talk about this Pepper and the filmmaker scene.
Yes.
So they're sitting there in the edit room, and to my eye, it looks like he shot his pornographic film on film?
Yeah. I think so, yes.
They're in an edit machine, and you hear the film clicking through. I'm like, he shot a porno on film?
So she shot a porno on film is kind of crazy, but I will say that college classes do still teach shooting on film.
Yeah. But I think he was lying about being in college.
Oh, I don't know if he was lying about college, but he was definitely lying about shooting it for college.
Yes, and so I think it's crazy that he would ever shoot a porno film on film.
Yeah, probably not. There's got to be some reference there.
Also, the fact that you can change the whole movie by just making some tweaks, she said.
That's what editing is.
I mean, you can save a movie and destroy a movie in editing, fine. But change a porno into like an artistic film, I don't know if you can do that.
I'm gonna take out the cum shots.
Yep, that's what editing is.
Oh, or you're suddenly upset about that?
We're going to edit all of those out of this, too. Pete, I'm going to edit this and make you say that you hate KO and you think she belongs with Guy.
That's awful.
That's what editing is all about.
Yeah. Yeah, of course you could do that. You can re-edit it. You add some music. She's actually totally right about that. I also think there is some sort of like, I wonder how much we're going to see this character again, but you don't think ever?
No.
Just Pepper's going to kiss a different person every single episode.
Well, that's what it felt like she was sort of seeing Dee Dee.
Right.
And now she's kissing this dude. I was like,
yeah, what's going on with her?
She's a scammer.
Hey, she is a 20-something in New York.
She's living on in the moment at all times.
She is, as the youth say, living la vida loca.
That's not accurate. That's a youth from 20 years ago.
Well, they played dirty in this episode, so I can say whatever I want. last little bit is Mr. Cabot talks to Josie. He thinks she has an undeniable talent, is going to give her enough money for an EP, but a classic 80s rom-com mix-em-up. She has to help keep Alex on the straight and narrow
and
in exchange
him.
For the money and date him.
Yeah.
Do you think she's going to do it?
I hope not.
So many great romances start when an old rich man forces you into doing it.
I mean, they do. Like, you keep it a secret. Things get to a head. You actually fall in love with the person, and then you reveal it. You get upset, and then you run up in the rain, and you kiss them or whatever.
Yeah, God, I love running up in the rain.
Yeah. I think it's raining outside. Do you guys want to go
run? I'm going to run up and kiss a bunch of people. Men, women, horses.
Yeah. Whatever you see.
Whatever I see. I love how right after that. So I think that scene sets up Josie for some. I like that. That'll be a fun plot going forward. The scene with Katie where she's finally moving past KO and she makes a sweet ass cape.
She does.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it.
Oh, right. Yeah. She finally is sewing again.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets back to it, and that cape is that's a baller outfit.
It is baller.
Yeah.
It's blazing
all
white.
The fashion in the show. Very good.
Very good.
That's definitely the part that makes me the most nervous because I don't really understand fashion very well. So I watch that. I'm like,
what are you talking about?
I mean, you see how I'm dressed.
Very good. Fashion doesn't sit that way. I'll tell you that much.
that's why you're not
supporting Pete and his fashion line.
You look amazing.
Thanks.
I bought some PP butt coughs the other day, and they don't fit very well.
Oh, well, you know
They're
what?
They're too tiny.
Fucking lose some weight, then.
I understand that's your tagline for your line, but I don't think it's very good, and it's kind of insulting.
You know what?
First off, don't
lose
insult my
weight.
Butt coughs, all right?
Yeah.
Those are handmade
Pete LePage, call it, lose some fucking weight. Or you're getting a pie in the face. A classic Mrs. Doubtfire. Before we wrap up here, as we do every episode, we talk about some sort of a New York first, some sort of New York moment. We've obviously hit a lot here.
We did.
Anything else from New York we should chat about this episode? Any New York firsts or iconic New York moments?
I did want to tell my roach story, if I can.
Your roach story?
Yeah.
Ugh, I hate roaches so much. Go for it.
So one of the... a tough day. I woke up late. I was super super late. I had a big meeting in the morning, and I was running to work, and nothing was going right. I had lost my keys. Everything was going bad. I get outside. It is pouring rain. I run into this shady bodega, buy an umbrella. Open the umbrella, roaches fall on my head.
Oh my God, what?
Oh. Alex will never use another umbrella.
I really won't. I have one over there. It's in my bag. I'm going to throw it out. I didn't know that was
so
possible.
Mad.
That's not a backpack. That's a roach container.
I start shaking the umbrella. It flutes. So
it
now
flutes.
Flutes. So now I don't have an umbrella. And I have to run to the train, and it's just like the worst.
I got to tell you, it's amazing that that story continued after roaches fell out of my umbrella. Roaches fell out of my umbrella all over me, but worst of all, that I didn't have an umbrella.
Yeah.
That seems like an upside at the end of the story.
Yeah. I didn't have this roach delivery device in my hands anymore.
Yeah, this roach motel.
Oh, God.
He's still shaking.
Awful.
Alex is officially shook.
Yeah.
He's not going to recover from
Jeez.
This.
That's terrible.
I'm glad I got that story.
Thanks for sharing that. If you'd like to support our podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by and we will share your roach stories with you. If you want to follow us socially, we have a bunch of Riverdale channels. Riverdale Dark on Twitter, Riverdale After on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast. More iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. And if you go on iTunes in particular, please leave us a comment. We really appreciate that. And, you know, if you want to dream of multiple dates, you can meet that dream as long as your name is Mrs. Euphigenia Doubtfire.